Chapter 7. The Will of Albus Dumbledore. He was walking along a mountain road in the cool blue light of dawn. Far below, swathed in mist, was the shadow of a small town. Was the man he sought down there, the man he needed so badly he could think of little else, the man who held the answer to his problem? Oi, wake up! Harry opened his eyes. He was lying again on the camp bed in Ron's dingy attic room. The sun had not yet risen, and the room was still shadowy. Pigwidgeon was asleep with his head under his tiny wing. The scar on Harry's forehead was prickling.
You were muttering in your sleep.
Was I?
Yeah, Gregorovitch. You kept saying, Gregorovitch.
Harry was not wearing his glasses. Ron's face appeared slightly blurred.
Who's Gregorovitch?
I don't know, do I? You were the one saying it.
Harry rubbed his forehead, thinking. He had a vague idea he had heard the name before, but he could not think where.
I think Voldemort's looking for him.
Poor bloke,
said Ron fervently. Harry sat up, still rubbing his scar, now wide awake. He tried to remember exactly what he had seen in the dream, but all that came back was a mountainous horizon and the outline of the little village cradled in a deep valley.
I think he's abroad.
Who? Gregorovitch?
Voldemort.
I think he's somewhere abroad, looking for Gregorovitch. It didn't look like anywhere in Britain.
You reckon you were seeing into his mind again?
Ron sounded worried.
Do me a favour and don't tell Hermione, said Harry, although how she expects me to stop seeing stuff in my sleep.
He gazed up at little Pigwidgeon's cage, thinking, why was the name Gregorovitch familiar?
I think, he said slowly, he's got something to do with Quidditch. There's some connection, but I can't think what it is.
Quidditch?
Said Ron.
Sure you're not thinking of Gorgovitch?
Who?
Dragomir Gorgovitch, chaser, transferred to the Chudley Cannons for a record fee 2 years ago. Record holder for most quaffle drops in a season.
No, said Harry, I'm definitely not thinking of Gorgovitch.
I try not to either, said Ron.
Well, happy birthday, anyway.
Wow, that's right. I forgot. I'm 17.
Harry seized the wand lying beside his camp bed, pointed it at the cluttered desk where he had left his glasses, and said,
Asio glasses!
Although they were only around a foot away, there was something immensely satisfying about seeing them zoom toward him, at least until they poked him in the eye.
Slick, snorted Ron.
Reveling in the removal of his trace, Harry sent Ron's possessions flying around the room, causing Pigwidgeon to wake up and flutter excitedly around his cage. Harry also tried tying the laces of his trainers by magic. The resultant knot took several minutes to untie by hand, and, purely for the pleasure of it, turned the orange robes on Ron's Chudley Cannons posters bright blue.
I'd do your fly by hand, though,
Ron advised Harry, sniggering when Harry immediately checked it.
Here's your present. Unwrap it up here, it's not for my mother's eyes.
A book, said Harry, as he took the rectangular parcel. Bit of a departure from tradition, isn't it?
This isn't your average book, said Ron. It's pure gold. 12 fail-safe ways to charm witches.
Explains everything you need to know about girls. If only I'd had this last year, I'd have known exactly how to get rid of Lavender, and I would have known how to get going with, well, Fred and George gave me a copy and I've learnt a lot. You'd be surprised, it's not all about wand work either.